while you're waiting, you'd like be interested to watch this. So sit in this chair. This is London, a Pennine village, and they're all stills. Switch on. I should be on. I switched it. Oh, I've switched the thing off. I'm gormless. Now then, we want you on. Come on. It worked before. Oh, I want a programme on, don't I? Of course I do. No, my grandson bought me this... what's it? DVD. Where am I? Play. I'm Irene Watts, and we moved here in 1960. We're all friendly folk, we know one another, how are you, and so on.
Certain people are not able, physically able, to do their gardens, but there will be a team from the In Bloom Group will come and help them and actually do some of that gardening for them. And I think that's really a nice community spirit, is what we're looking for, and they have it here, there's no doubt about it.
Everybody's competing, and it really is lovely to see the beauty that there is. People remark, coming down the road, how lovely it is, and going round. I think it's made London beautiful.
The first thing we have to do when we've finished our judging is, in fact, to write an introductory paragraph of what it is that we feel about that particular entry, what these villages have done about water conservation and plant life conservation and conservation of buildings and so on. So those things we take into account, and then the community involvement, who grows the plants, and really particularly the encouragement of young people, because often this is done by, you know, people who have spare time. But then, who is going to do it in the future?
Ali, do you know it?
Goodbye!
Bye now.
Goodbye!
Bye now.
It's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye!
Bye
now.
It's time to say goodbye.
Look, little
apples. And we'll pop these into the bed at the back and try and get a slightly better display. Nice and strong and healthy. We just need to water them in a little bit and go and get some water.
We thought about going in for a competition, the best kept village, but we were advised that the In Bloom would suit us more, because at the best kept village they would come round and look, they went where they liked and you didn't know when they were going to come, whereas the In Bloom, the judges would come and you could show them round on an appointed day. So we just thought it would be nice to make the village nice.
We came in early April to judge, and then having done the spring judging, we then have a second lot of judging, middle to the end of July, and look at what the summer flowers and the summer things are like. So it's over a long period of time that the communities have to make sure their place is up to scratch, up to standard.
A lot depends on the advancement of the flowers. I mean, it's hot and a lot of the flowers are dying off quicker because of the sun drying them up, aren't they?
My name's Stuart Elwin and I am the local authority's horticultural officer. Quite a few primulas and things have gone from the local car park down there, which is slightly isolated. And I know there's one or two of the boundary planters, there's one or two of the bedding plants come from there. And we've also had, up and down around quite a considerable amount of vandalism.
And I think we'll probably only need about half a dozen or so, won't we, Stuart?
Yes.
What Stuart's brought today will help us plug those gaps.
These dahlias should be coming out into flower once the judging is around.
Those will plug the gaps and give us a full display.
Obviously, more people within the village are going to be more vigilant now. And basically, what all In Bloom groups are like is you've just got to basically turn the other cheek and get on with it. You know, try and get some replacement planting in and keep your fingers crossed come the day of judging everything is fine.
Nice and strong and healthy.
We'll just hope that the judges like our village. It's a different sort of village, is London. It's in the bottom of a very steep hillside. It's on the South Pennines. The streets are narrow, steep in places, and there's not many front gardens.
In this competition, I've learnt how to work with other people and how to, you know, achieve points in Britain in Bloom. And it's not all about flowers; it's all about historic landmarks as well.
Where Bluebell Walk is, there was a red brick factory there, and that was knocked down in about 1988, I think, and they built about 30 houses. And then there's Oatroyd Mill on the hilltop. At one time, nearly everybody that lived in the village worked in the Murgatroyds. And it's changed in as much as that a lot of the new people come. They don't work in the village now, they commute. So the nature of the village has changed over the years. I mean, it was more scruffy when we first came. It felt to me as though we'd step back in time.
This is the Methodist Church in London, the present Methodist Church. Most of the other churches that have closed down recently have all been sold off for conversion into apartments. We discovered an outbreak of dry rot, and we had to have quite a bit of money raising for that and only just managed to do it. So whether it will continue in the long run, I don't know. I think also too, we've got to a period of time where a lot of the older generation that used to come here have either just died off within the last 5 years or so. The congregations have gone down very, very noticeably in the last 5 years, because as soon as any of the churches like this close down, the developers are on straight away, and they've obviously been looking out and eyeing up which are likely to go next.
It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. Somebody had vendetta against somebody.
It was an adult then.
Village life, isn't it?
No, but it could have been the teenagers. It well could have.
Last year we had a sabotage, it was, a couple of nights before the judging. This was when we were in Britain in Bloom, our first time. We noticed some plants wilting and some white crystals on some of them, and quickly realised that we'd been sabotaged.
Jason gave me a call to inform me that basically some of the plants, in his mind, had weed killer poured on them. As you walked around the village, it became more and more aware. It wasn't just an isolated incident on one particular bed. It became maybe three or four where it had taken place.
I mean, people said, is it our competitors, you know, in different villages? But I'd discount that straight away. Other competitors would never, other gardeners would never do anything like that.
I thought that was very, very sad, because why would somebody do that? Because that's mean.
That was naughty. It really was wrong. They might have done it for a prank. I mean, young folk do things for a prank and they go wrong. Things worse than that.
Well, put it this way, I don't think it's either someone in the village or someone from one of the other villages in the competition.
Or
and
teenagers
I don't think
riding their bicycles.
I think it was somebody who just had a vendetta.
So, fingers crossed, hopefully no more poisoning will be taking place. Not all local people, and I speak this all across Calderdale, not everybody likes in Bloom, purely and simply because they think it becomes a tourist attraction.
But, I mean, they must have had the stuff to do it with, mustn't they? I mean, they might have had a drink or two, but they had the stuff, hadn't they, to do it.
I said to the judges that, you know, to say it's such a beautiful area, there's more acrimony and contentious things going on, you know.
No, it's a great shame. It's not the sort of thing you would mark them down on, necessarily. It's just unfortunate that in fact, that there has been this vandalism.
I would rather somebody steal a plant than actually pour weed killer on them and totally destroy them. You've just got to basically turn the other cheek and get on with it. And keep your fingers crossed come the day of judging, everything is fine.
That's a thing to wait and see, isn't it? Whether it'll happen again. You can never tell, can you?
I'm going to deadhead and tie the roses in, if I can find my string. The climbing roses are on the wall, I'm going to deadhead those. And generally tidy up for making a special effort for this Brittany in bloom, Georgie.
We're looking ready, these guys, so tread carefully. Oh, this is Jim.
Hello.
Where's your partner in crime gone?
He just disappeared.
That's it.
He just shuns publicity. He's forever having paparazzi after him.
This is my favourite place to work up here. Looking over the rooftops and the church with the clock, down to the memorial with the flower beds and up here. It's a lovely place, isn't it? I think some of the locals don't want publicity. They resent the fact that there might become a lot of tourists here, and I think they don't want that. That's what I think. So, well, I think there might have been a bit of motive behind it, yeah. Miss Marple's we need.
We've just come up New Road, which is called New Road. It was built, I think, in about around about 1860 when there was an unemployment problem in the next village along. And they didn't want all the working men to be idle and going to the boozer, no doubt.
My co-judge is 82 years old, and you know, we have to take a little bit steady, but you know, all the time we're going round, I'm always taking notes. I didn't know the village at all, but certainly the organiser, you know, Jason, he's absolutely dedicated and quite a person who would actually try and encourage everybody to get involved. He doesn't do it himself, and that's what we're looking for. He's the coordinator. He's getting other people involved.
There's been a criticism in the past that the Conservation Society and the In Bloom Group have not involved the council, estate, or the ex-local authority estate up on Highfield. I know there's a few people up there who try really hard, but there's one or two people who just don't give a fig, so, and it's almost like a jungle in their front garden. But you could get that kind of person anywhere. There's one particular couple who really don't want anything at all, and make it quite well known that they don't want anything at all to happen to it. They don't try to do anything. They've been critical of what we've done. Of you know, they put people off, put the near neighbours off doing anything. And that's Billy's life.
Are you in, Ronnie? It's Jason, can I come in? Okay, mate. Ronnie, put your clothes on, mate.
Is it a bit hot for you?
In 1939, they were going to build this estate, but the war came, so it stopped. Now in 1950, I think it was, they started building it.
I get tired, you see, being as old as I am. I have some embroidery on the go that I haven't touched it for a while because it's a very big piece. And my sister did embroidery, she's done a lot of this. She had a fall and she broke her thigh and she had to go back to the hospital. Well, when I went, she said, oh, they've been feeling all over my body and have lumps in my groin and under my arms. And when we went on the Saturday, she was in bed. And I said, what are you doing in bed? She said, oh, I am poorly. And she died that night. I had lovely cards, thought were wonderful. I felt to be wrapped round with love. I did. I can't express it, really. It were wonderful.
Hello.
How are you lot? You all right? Do you know what it is today, Ben?
No, is it not in bloom?
That it is. Well done, Louie. Because you've seen us out planting, haven't you?
One of our rivals is called Darley in North Yorkshire, and they always beat us. And then The year before, we were beaten by someone called Appleton Whisk.
We've had a few sort of like spying missions, if you want to call it that, to see what the competition's like.
North Stanley.
Yeah, and just South to go and have Stanley. A bit of a look and see what they're doing, because you can't constantly come up with new ideas. It's, you know, everything. There's no such thing as a new idea. We reinvent it each time. And then the last one going in.
We're up in Carfield now. This is an area where we haven't bought the judges before. Trying to get more people involved up here. Some big executive houses up at the top.
And we'll pop these into the bed at the back and try and get a slightly better display.
I wouldn't like to say we all get on terrifically well, because we don't, you know. We had our hawthorn hedge laid, so then it was like low, you know, and at the other side of it there was a piece of land that was overgrown and neglected. It had a load of raspberries on. So I decided to help myself to a bit of it. And the balloon went up, because the argument was, which I can see their point of view, that I'd got all this land, between a quarter and a half an acre, and here I was grabbing more.
And I think we'll probably only need about half a dozen or so, won't we, Stuart?
Yes, I would have thought so, fill this gap. Because this is Lithrum Robert, just coming into its own now, and should look ideal for when it comes to judging.
Different people have been out trying to do different things. There's a communal area of grass here, which I find a bit strange that one neighbour's cut half of it, but he's waiting for his other neighbour to do the other half. And personally speaking, I would have just got stuck in and cut the whole damn lot. But you know, it's a perfect line down the middle of it, which breaks up. It's my piece of communal grass, but there's a lot of this. I mean, it's quite noticeable. When we first moved in, my next door neighbour saw us building a dry stone wall, and that was there for one reason, and one reason alone, was to stop the kids getting into an area where they could have potentially fallen. And he came in and he said, "Oh, I see you're marking your territory." When I explained to him what I was doing and why I was doing it, he was fine. But I think a lot of people do like to mark the territory. It's similar to the grass cutting, I suppose. Well, there's one chap there saying that this is my territory, that's your territory. To me, roads, public verges, grass verges, playgrounds, communal areas are all for us all to enjoy. And we should work together to do it, but other people don't view it that way.
Hopefully in a couple of weeks' time, nice and strong and healthy. Shall we carry them up then? Find some homes for them?
Yep.
And this village is fantastic. It's got lots of history. And that little lane that you just walked up, that cobble lane, Cromwell's army marched up there in the 1600s. When the two village schools were open, there was lots of activity. There was plenty of shops. We had two butcher's shops. We had several pubs in the area. We had a working men's club. But now it's a bit quiet. So, houses are going ridiculously high-priced. For young people born in this village, that they won't be able to afford to buy a house in the village. They've got to move elsewhere, haven't they?
There's the kids there going down to the nursery school down at the church. There's a room on top of St Mary's, and they run a small sort of like nursery school there. This shop here on the corner used to be a shop there. That was used for the TV series In Loving Memory. That was the Undertakers with Thora Heard. The village was used as a backdrop for that. Yeah, where is... Oh, is that... It's Tony Cornwall. He's a bit of a... sort of like blues fan, is Tony.
My sisters had this house before me.
Oh, yeah.
I've got five sisters.
Yeah.
The one below me,
Bernadette,
she bought it for £250.
£250, yeah. Blimey.
A single bedroom, got a bathroom.
Yeah.
And that's it. We've no bath, we've no shower.
So what do you do then, Tony? Do you wait till it rains?
Do you know something? I had a bath for 20 years.
Oh, blimey, Tony.
I think 1986. Believe it or not, I was in Tenerife.
Right.
And I saw this bath and I thought, this is it. Yeah. I am having a bath. So I had the bath and it's 20 years since. This is a house of music.
Yes.
As you can probably see.
Yeah.
Every time anybody goes down to the pub, you find, you know, there's some more gossip. It's awful, isn't it? People have split up ever since we came. But they have. I mean, I was out in the garden, and there was a man called out to me. He'd come to cut that field, you know, it belonged to the school, and he said, oh, how's your mother? So I said, oh, she's all right, like, you know. And he says, oh, he says, it's not Christine, is it? I says, no, I says, we've bought this house from Christine. You know, I said, Graham and Christine split up before we bought this house. So he says, I don't know. He says, we call it the triangle, from the pub to the top behind us and down to the main road. He said, and there's more swapping and splitting goes on. This is like 1978, you know, and he said, that's a man. So.
I've just suddenly noticed several holes in the ground and in the beds, and I thought, God, well, that's a bit strange. And then I realised that several of our grasses that we'd put in, they're really good specimen grasses, we lost about five.
We have a lot of barrier planters which we purchased this time for the in-bloom, and what we've been finding is that we've been going back the following day to find the plants have been pulled up. And as I say, you can see them thrown in the roadway on the footpaths. Some, yes, you can plant them back, but an awful lot of them, people have walked over them as well. So basically, we can't replace them.
We're meeting the judges at 9:15 in the Lord Nelson pub. The introduction will be about how we promote our bloom group in the locality. And then we're coming here in the car park to have a look around and look at the trees and the shrubs.
It's one of those things, you can't please everybody. It's just a matter of just carrying on and just putting things back as they get taken out. But you just have to put the things back and put newsletters out, hoping, asking people not to do these things and try and stop them doing it.
I think this is really somebody who's digging them up for their own garden, you know. They're just gone, you know, some lovely specimen blue grasses. It's one of the areas that I'll sort of look after, you know, so I was just sort of wandering about and noticed that they were missing.
Me being a landlady, I'm going to get trouble no matter what. I've had a few incidents, the hay racks have been taken off the wall and just...
You think someone's up to no good again?
Yeah.
Yeah, things being pulled out?
Things being pulled out.
Right. So we've learnt from last year that we just keep on plodding on, don't we? And
yeah.
Bugger them.
We also had an instance a couple of weeks ago when a lorry came up with a metal bar protruding out the side of it, and it took two of the planters with it now, and they were totally disintegrated by the time the lorry had gone past. So again, you know, we're little things like that that sort of a little bit against us at the moment. So I think, anyway, the judges are just arriving here now, so I this is where I keep out of the way a little bit.
This is Trevor Ron. I think you met Stuart. We're going to go in pub, I'll go and get biscuits.
We're going to the car park, don't we?
Yeah, we're going to the car park first, yeah.
Interested to see how that gone on.
Well, that's Trevor's domain, really.
This is mainly council-maintained.
Yeah.
This area. It's called the Rest Garden, but we've actually gone in with them this year and introduced the Verbena bonariensis, which we paid for.
Yeah.
But we've also put some butterfly boxes on the wall there.
Ah,
and
yeah.
Because it's quite a sunny area.
And you've not got into them yet, you don't know whether there's any butterflies.
We've got a lot of butterflies and day moths in the village this year, yeah.
Yeah, oh good. They all send you a brochure, you know, all the entrance. So you can follow it through with your notes when you're doing your work or working out.
Just as you walk through the village when we're judging, we look out for things which sometimes necessarily the representatives of the in-bloom group don't necessarily want you to see. we have here, just perhaps a private drive, lovely stone sets, but there's a lot of weed in them. It just looks unkempt, as if nobody particularly cares for it.
Well, they make nice remarks about different things, but you never get any idea of how it's going at all, really. So we've got to wait till September, which is a long time, really, but there you are. But it's a nice day, so, everything hopefully is looking at its best.
Good morning.
This is Betty, our local vicar.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So really, we work in conjunction with the congregation here, don't we?
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, that has grown over the last 18 months particularly. That's something that we really welcome, and it has grown, and I hope is continuing to grow.
It seemed to go fine.
Yeah, I thought it went really well. Yeah,
yeah, there wasn't a bit of litter, a weed or mess anywhere.
I think we're definitely better than last year, which I think we've moved on.
It's been good. I mean, I've enjoyed it. We've, in effect, been showing off the village this morning.
It's fantastic. I mean, everyone's willing to help each other, and we're all good friends together, and we're going to do a good job, no matter who you're working with. It could be old or young.
Well, I'm delighted to be here today to present the Yorkshire in Bloom Awards, and we're going to start with the village category. And a silver medal goes to Upper Hopton, and a silver medal to Shipton Thorpe, and a silver medal to Alton. Moving on to the silver gilt medals, and one of them goes to Spofford with Stockheld, and also a silver medal to Luddenden. And finally, the gold medals to Appleton Whisk, and with a gold medal and the overall winner of the village category, it goes to Darley.
I've nothing to wish for, I have everything to be thankful for. I've been richly blessed. I feel I've been richly blessed all my life because I've had a caring, a loving family, and I've still got a loving family, although I'm the last one.
Lives in a Landscape was produced by Sue Mitchell.